Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. This is the show where we help you become a more intelligent real estate investor. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. I'm the founder of Morris Invest, which is a full-service rental real estate company. And today I've got my doggy sitting here with me because he was barking. He's on my lap. So if you're watching the video version, you get to see Grover before he runs away. So we've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about three different questions that you have. So today's our Q&A episode day where we answer some of your questions. We got three great different questions coming in from our viewers this morning. And I don't listen to these ahead of time. I like to be surprised and kind of give you my honest opinion, right, when I hear them. So we've got three great calls. You can leave me a voicemail that we can dissect here on the show. Ask any question you would like around finance, real estate, et cetera, planning your future around your freedom number. It's very simple to do. Just go to our website, morrisinvest.com/Clayton. morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That is how you leave us a voicemail message. Okay. All right. Dog jumped down. Now is playing with a bone. So I apologize for the background noise, but let's get into it today. Here is our first question. This one comes to us from Joy.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Joy, and I currently own a condo in Arlington, Virginia, that's about 10 to 15 minutes away from Amazon's second headquarters. The location is in a developing area, but the condo fees are close to almost $700 per month, which is eating away at cash flow. Would you rather keep the property so that it appreciates over time? Or would you sell the property and buy, say, 3, 4, or even 5 properties with that equity? Thank you.
Thank you, Joy, for the question. I think you just answered your question. I am not a fan. If you've watched my show for any length of time, for years I've been talking about this on the show. I do not like homeowners association fees or condo fees. Some areas it's hard to avoid, right? When you're in Arizona or Florida, there's a lot of association fees you have to deal with that they come around and mow the lawn. If you do have an association, make sure that it's very minimal. Like all they do is cut the lawn, you know, something like that, where it's just a minimal cost per year for you. And it takes care of the lawns on these properties. And that's fine. Like that's it. I know in a couple of our new construction properties that we do at Morris Invest, there's a couple of our developments that have an association fee just for lawn cutting. And it's not even, it's not an association. There's no actual formal committee and association. The problem with homeowners associations is that they can basically tell you to go pound sand and never turn your property into a rental property. They have a lot of power. Not only that, it costs money every month. So associations, I am not a fan of. So look at, this is what Airbnb is dealing with right now, right? They just went public, huge explosion on Wall Street, that Airbnb's stock, when it started, it doubled in price almost overnight. But one of their biggest things that they have to deal with, number one, is the pandemic, of course. But number two, our neighbors saying, hey, we don't want this house next door turned into an Airbnb. And then they form a homeowners association, or they go to the homeowners association and say, we don't want to allow rental properties in this community anymore. And so you're never really safe from that homeowners association making a determination down the line 5, 6, 7 years from now that you're not allowed to have that property as a rental property. Sometimes they grandfather things in, that's fine. But most of the time, it's going to affect your ability to rent that property. And then, like I said, not to mention, it's cutting into your overall bottom line. The very first property I ever bought was in a homeowners association. And when I bought this one-bedroom condo on a golf course in Florida, when I moved to Orlando, I moved in and my homeowners association fees every month were like $200. And right after I moved in, they did a special assessment saying that the whole building had to get painted and they were going to redo the roof. I was like, I have no money. I'm young. I don't have any money for this. And every one of the people that lived in this condo building had to pony up thousands of dollars to pay for this special assessment. And that was not, did not make me happy. So anyway, my point is I'm not a fan of these associations, but if you can take that money out of this property and sell it, you know, if this were my property, I would absolutely be selling it. I would not want a homeowners association. And if you have that much equity in this exploding hot market right now, that you could take that equity and buy 3, 4, 5 different rental properties, heck, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I would do that all day long. You could use that like on one of our properties, like a down payment's like $35,000, $40,000. Imagine picking up 4, 5, 6 properties, new construction properties, because you got rid of this townhome, this condo that has this high association fee on it. So that's my advice. That's what I would do, but to each their own. But great question. Thank you so much, Joy, for that question. All right, here's our next question. This one comes to us from Ariel.
Hi, my name is Ariel Markovitz. I'm eager to invest in the U.S. For rental properties as an investment. And the only problem is I'm not sure where to get started as I live abroad, so I'm not a U.S. resident. How can I get a little more information on that, a little bit more guidance as to which steps I can take and which financial entities can help me get started with my investments, assuming that I do have the down payments for these properties. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ariel, for the question. We work at Morris Invest with a lot of international investors. So right away, I can tell you that it's not a hard process. There's a few extra hurdles that you need to step through in order to invest in the United States, but it doesn't have to be difficult. I've got a few videos right here on our YouTube channel. If you're watching the video version of this on our Morris Invest YouTube channel, just go to youtube.com/Morris Invest. And there's a couple of videos there we have on international investing. And one of the best things you can do, I should also mention on our website, we have a whole huge blog post about international investing and the steps that you'd need to go through. So please check that out. Again, that's at morrisinvest.com. But just at a high level here, if you're listening on audio and you want to understand how to do this from abroad, it's not that difficult. And with the power of non-recourse financing, we make it even that much easier. So the reason that we use non-recourse financing on a lot of our properties is for that very reason. It's not, they don't care that you live abroad. The bank doesn't care that you don't have your entities set up in the United States. They don't care about you, quite frankly. They care about the asset. And so they are backing the asset. They are putting the loan on the asset itself. You can live in London. It doesn't matter where you live. And with a number of the banks that we work with on the non-recourse side, that makes it incredibly easy for international investors. It's probably the number one way that our international investors end up buying properties is using non-recourse financing. Again, it's not tied to you. It's tied to the asset itself. So check that information out. There's not a lot of other things that you have to do. You know, if you're going to set up an LLC in the United States and you don't want to go the non-recourse route, then of course, yes, you have to, you know, you'd want to create an entity in the United States. You'd need a U.S. bank account and all of that stuff. By going the non-recourse route, you don't have to deal with that. And Ariel, our team can help you deal with that and get everything set up for you pretty quickly. So just if you'd like, book a call with us. We'll take great care of you at Morris Invest. Very simple to do. But don't let international investing scare you off from investing in the United States. The United States is the number one place to invest in real estate in the world. Okay. The ROI and return on your investment is better than just about anywhere. The landlord-friendly laws that we have in the states where we invest are better than just about anywhere. More bang for your buck comparatively. We have investors that we work with from Australia and they're just blown away. They're like, wait, I can't get a house for $300,000 here in Australia. It would be like a little shoebox, you know? So I understand the need to want to get that money out of Europe or other places and into a safer investment in real estate in the United States. It's one of the best. It's one of the best in the world. I think it is the best in the world, quite honestly. That's why we have so many international investors. So good question, but don't overthink it. There are quite a few things that we can do to help you. Check out that blog post, as I mentioned. Check out our YouTube channel where we talk about international investing and we walk through the different steps and strategies for you. Anyway, I hope that helps. Okay, our next question is from Malachi. Let's listen to Malachi.
Hi, Clayton. This is Malachi in Omaha, Nebraska. Big fan. Listening to your podcast for quite a bit of time. My question is, if I can get an investor to loan me money, how would I use that to hold on to the property to pay them back rather quickly? So let's say they lend me $20,000. I get a property that is really fixer-upper. And then I start to rent it out. How would I be able to get their money back as quickly as possible? Appreciate it. And thanks, and look forward to hearing from the next week's podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Malachi. Hope you're staying safe out there in Nebraska this time of year. So great question. You know, well, the way that you're borrowing this money from this friend is similar to what like private money lenders would do or hard money lenders would do. Typically, they would structure it for about a 12-month note for you. You know, they'll give it to you for 12 months. Now, one thing that you can do to make that make sure that your friend is satisfied is put them in first position on the property so that they actually, like if you disappear or skip town, they have a first lien position on that property. Now, I don't know if you're working with other money or other financing, so that may be a conflict. But if they are your only lender, you could say to them, look, I'll put you in first lien position on this property. That means if I disappear, you get the house, you know, but I'm not going to disappear. My intention is to fix up the property and to pay you back a nice return. So again, I don't even know what your interest rate is structured, but let's say you worked with them on a 5% or 7% interest rate for 12 months. Well, in that 12 months, it's incumbent upon you to get that house fixed up, right? You bought it as a fixer-upper. Hopefully you bought it at 60 cents on the dollar or 70 cents on the dollar, ideally, right now. And then you're fixing it up. And then what you want to do is place a tenant in the property. And then I would want to refinance that property, right? I'm going to go to a bank and now say, I'd like a loan on this property. And the bank will come and say, great, you bought it for 100. It's now worth 200 after the work you did. Or you bought it for 90. Now it's worth 140. And they'll cover it. They give you a check. They cut you a mortgage. You take that money and you go pay your friend back within that 12 months. Now, things happen in construction. You should make the promissory note with your friend so that if you needed to extend it beyond the year, maybe the interest rate would go up for like a 3-month extension. Like if you have hit a snag with construction. Look, I, you know, would do a lot of smaller properties over the years. So they would take two, three months to do a full renovation, 90 days. But I also lived in New Jersey where I would do a lot of wholesaling and flipping of houses that, because I didn't do construction in New Jersey, I would flip a wholesale a deal to a lot of the flipper friends that I had that would spend a year putting on a whole second story of the house and everything. They'd spend like 9 months to a year on these big 4,000, 5,000 square foot homes. And they'd make $400,000 in profit, but it took them a year to do it. And if there was any delay from city permitting offices or anything like that, I mean, that can really cut into that hard money time. Like if they've borrowed hard money, right, they're paying interest regardless of what the city's doing. Like if the city permitting process is behind by 7 weeks, they can't do anything. So they're sitting there basically paying interest to a hard money lender while the city decides to get them permits in place. So these are all things you need to consider in this process. But I would just simply construct a simple promissory note for a year with your friend. Or if you think you can get this house renovated in 6 months, then do it in 6 months. But then you also want to think about how long it'll take you to get the refinance process done with a traditional bank, pull that money back out, and then snowball it. I would really construct it intelligently with your friend, because here's what's going to happen with your friend, Malachi. That friend, if you treat him right and do it correctly, he's going to come back and want to do the second house you flip and the third house. And he could end up being your main hard money lender for the next 20 years. That's how this works. If you don't do it right, then he won't be. But most people that I know that do flips and use like a lender or a private lender use like one or two, and they've been with them for years because they do it correctly. That guy is going to get his money back with interest. And then he's going to say, hey, Malachi, when are you doing your next project? I'll invest again. And so just, you know, structure it properly. 12-month note with whatever interest rate you agree on. If he wants to be in first lien position on the property, that means that he has, you know, you disappear, he gets the house, okay? That's a good, because you could disappear if there's no first lien position on the house and he's out. You know, he's out of money. He doesn't get that $20,000 back. So those little precautions, you could come to him and just make sure that he understands that he's safe and taken care of. And no prepayment penalty. So if you get the house done in 5 months, great. Then there's no prepayment penalty. Do not accept a prepayment penalty with a friend. Absolutely not. And then do it again. Rinse and repeat. That's my advice. I hope you found that helpful, Malachi. Thank you all for your questions, by the way. You can leave me a voicemail. Very simple to do. Just go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Drop me a voicemail and I will play it right here on our show. Thank you so much. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.